Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, and I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the country, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So big shout out to you, mob, wherever you are. And I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you say, all ears here for another program, National Talk Black, whatever topic you want to yarn about, and time on all ears for that conversation. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. You can also text a brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Yeah, so we had NAIDOC, we had Laura Dance Festival here in Cairns at the CIAF, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair. So or most of your celebrations, big celebrations are over and done with. Now it's time to focus on, Christmas, Murray Christmas, just around the corner. But also we've got the Recognising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Peoples Through a Voice. They've got the a voice to Parliament, the referendum that's about to hit the shores. We need to do our votes. It's a yes or no. I am a yes man. I'm looking at a voice to Parliament. And I'm understanding that it's a committee, a group of people at the table with government. That's all it is. And regarding a tiger with no teeth, just helping with discussions and conversations and where we need to go and regarding closing gaps and supporting First Nations people. So we will have no power with regarding money or, you know, dividing money out to any organisation or any movement out there or anything to that effect. Nothing to do with treaty and land rights or nothing to that effect. And all it does is just it just gives us a seat at the table. That's all it does. So do not confuse it all or complicate it all, but do process in regard to information, more information, then you can make a sound decision. Whether you go yes or no, that's your choice and your call. But know all the reasons why you're making that choice. I say if it is a no, then if not this, then what? You know, we don't have a treaty in this country. Working towards a treaty, I see what that voice is that, a voice, a next step up towards a treaty. But all is here for your yarn, your opinion. But, for those people out there who are saying yes and fans, those people saying no, get all the information. Well, both parties get all the information before you make your sound decision. You may be yes, and after you get the information, you may say, oh, no, I'm going to go no. Well, yeah, there it is. But get the information. But Australia is the only first world country on planet Earth does not have a treaty with its First Nation people. And I don't think Australia wants to hold that trophy. Been holding it for a while, 230-odd years, and probably get rid of that trophy. Got cobwebs on it, so to speak, you know. Then you look at the Constitution written back in 1901, it's the same constitution as it is today, 2023. And the constitution back then was written for non-Indigenous people. And it still stands today. So we need to have changes, do we not? And voice to Parliament, it just, like I said, outside all that, and I'm talking about the constitution, I'm talking about changing the date or whatever the case may be, a voice to Parliament just gives their opinion, gives our input into regarding decisions for our people. That's all it does. They're not complicated. But maybe you want to yarn on that. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Thank you. Guruvi kalal janaluvanno valballele ya papado walpri batu nyambunga ngurunga luwanu lujana maliki pia luwanu lujana we are pa ya pacu walpri batu Panga jalbalo muru karikira lanelke walbali ki chako nina jalbalo pinginga tangalgo laniwano
your Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bama Bipa Media, 98.7 FM. Have you seen Yana Strong? Otherwise, text a brother, 045 714 0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Yarn up strong. Now, 1 in 3 Australian women experience bladder leakage at some stage in their life, often during pregnancy, after childbirth, or throughout menopause. Despite its prevalence, bladder leakage is a silent syndrome, with new research finding a quarter of mothers have never discussed their condition with anyone. First of its kind, Pause Pledge, a campaign, looks to break the silence around bladder leakage and empower women to take action. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Caitlin Dunsford, a physiotherapist in women's health. Caitlin, very good morning, Caitlin. How are you?
Good, thanks, Trevor. How are you doing?
I'm well. Where are you based?
I'm in Sydney.
Sydney. I'm in Cairns, North Queensland, hillbilly
oh,
up north.
I wish I was in Cairns right
warm
now.
Warm as fur shorts and football shorts and singlet up here at the moment.
Oh, it was 0 degrees this morning when I woke up. So
I'm just turning the heat on now just to hear that. Look, thank you very much for coming to the program. So, look, can you tell us more about the research, please?
Yeah, of course. So YouGov research commissioned by POISE found that bladder leakage is prevalent. So this research was done in women, but I want to stress that I guess bladder leaks don't discriminate against sex. So
okay.
Bladder leakage is common in men as well, but this research was done specifically on women.
Okay.
And this research that POISE commissioned found that 4 in 5 Australian mothers are experiencing bladder leaks, but over half of expecting mothers are unaware of how common this is. And I think when they looked further into it, they looked at more about the feelings around bladder leakage. They found that despite causing negative feelings, so more than 95% of women said that they experienced negative feelings associated with their bladder leaks, but majority of them aren't even speaking to a health professional.
Yes.
So 3 in 5 mothers haven't spoken with a GP, which just blows my mind, right? You know,
yes.
These women are just suffering in silence.
Exactly. So why is there a stigma surrounding bladder leakage?
I think everybody could sort of answer that, because you hear the term bladder leakage and everybody's like, oh, this is like, it's not a sexy topic. It's embarrassing. I think a lot of people just think, you know, you're age 3, you get continent, and then you're just continent until the end of your life, and then it's a downhill from there. Mm. Or something really bad has to happen in say, childbirth or pregnancy for you to actually experience this.
Sure.
But it's, you know, it's common. And I think the fact that people don't know it's common is probably one of the biggest reasons why there's stigma.
So paint a picture. It's like a leakage. It's fluid coming from the private parts. And then if it's on your shorts, skirts, what have you, it is you can see it. And there's embarrassment thinking that it's you peed your pants or something.
100%, Trevor. Look, I have my patients that completely, and it's subconscious as well, but they completely change how they act, how they interact with the world, how they see their friends, their social activities, or what they choose to do based on the fact that they're scared of where the next toilet is or what will happen if they don't make it to the toilet in time.
Mm.
And it's that fear that stops them from doing things that they used to love to do. And massively, what I see is it prevents people from participating in exercise.
Okay.
So it has a flow-on effect to, like, other chronic health conditions, right?
So when you're talking exercise, like, how do pelvic floor exercises help?
So we know that pelvic floor exercises, so strengthening the muscles around where the bladder exits the body, can help in preventing leaks, so in the first place. So people that do pelvic floor exercises prior to giving birth are less likely to experience bladder leakage after having a baby. And the same goes with men. We know that men before prostate surgery that are doing pelvic floor exercises can reduce their leakage chances before or after they have that surgery. But specifically, pelvic floor exercises help to prevent bladder leakage or treat bladder leakage at the time of doing an activity. You know, you jump, you cough, you sneeze, you laugh, and you leak urine. But if you had a strong pelvic floor, the likelihood that happens is less.
Okay.
And I guess the hardest part, like I say pelvic floor exercises now, and I'm sure you're probably thinking, well, how the hell do you actually do that?
Mm.
And lots of other people are probably thinking, well, it's a bit oversimplified. We don't really know what to do. Do we just squeeze all the time?
Yes.
And I think that's probably the biggest myth in my industry is actually how to do pelvic floor exercises.
So, of course, the national program, there'd be people driving, men and women, who are listening to this conversation and may be in this situation. What advice do you have for people needing more support?
Yeah, so my first advice is to definitely go and see somebody, tell your GP specifically. Mm. But if you don't feel confident telling your GP, tell a friend, tell a parent, tell a you know, a trusted person in your circle, and then people can access free information on this, including a 12-week pelvic floor muscle training program that's designed by a physiotherapist at poise.com.au.
And like you said, that's for both men and women.
Yeah, so this the specific campaign that POISE have released recently, that pledged to help Australian women, is specifically targeted at women, particularly in the childbearing age. Mm-hmm. But there is, you know, if you watch this space, I know POISE are interested in getting some extra information out for men as well, but men can do pelvic floor exercises as well.
Okay, so where can Australian women go to find out more information?
Yeah, they can go to poise.com.au.
POISE, P-O-I-S-E, poise.com.au.
That's it.
Lovely. Okay, thank you so very much. Look, great talking with you, Caitlin. Keith Smiler, stay warm, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you, Trevor. Have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Trinity Trev here, having a deadly yarn with Caitlin Dunsford, a physiotherapist in women's health. And we're talking about the shattering, the silence, the hidden struggle of Australian mothers. One in three Australian women experience bladder leakage and at same time, at some stage in their life, and often during pregnancy, after childbirth, or throughout menopause. So despite its prevalence, bladder leakage is a silent syndrome, with new research finding a quarter of mothers have never discussed their condition with anyone, which is sad. So it's about having a conversation with your doctor, as Caitlin just stated, have a talk with your family or your friends, and just talk about the situation. And there are support. There is support there, so do reach out. Have your say in Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416.
It's been 2 months since I heard from you. Don't check up as much as you used to. It may be easy to turn it off for you, but it ain't for me. It just ain't what I'm used to. I guess you don't love me no more. Guess that's okay. I wish that you wish that I would just stay, but I guess you had other plans. I guess that's okay. I wish that I wish that I wish you away. It look easy to forget everything that I'm used to. So hard to resist, forget you exist. I guess that just ain't what I'm used to. I guess I don't love you no more. Guess that's okay. I wish that you wish that I would just stay, but I guess I had other plans. I guess that's okay. I wish that I wish that I wish you away. I wish that I wish that I wish you away. But I guess you fell in love with her again. Can we go back to just being friends? But I guess you fell in love. Guess you fell in love. Guess you fell in love. But I guess you fell in love with her again. Can we go back? Guess you fell in love. Guess you fell in love. Guess you fell in love. It's been a few months since I heard from you. I'm doing my best to forget what I'm used to. Wish you never stole my heart. I'm back to the start. I guess this just ain't what I'm used to. I guess this just ain't what I'm used to.
Plum out the work, the making tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls while we does it by them in the surface of it work. With the making holes in the earth to track in the hurt. For what you thought we could be worth, we saw it work. With the making tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls while we does it by them in the surface of it work. With the making holes in the earth to track in the hurt. For what you thought we could be worth, we saw it. You must have been me, Sambala Ryan, Atekar Rip, Akamasi Island, born and bred where Kyoto Island.
busy not to fly, must fly go by again. Another after MB full blood, new in mind. Another after MB cell come from Jamaica. With the coming of the light, now Zulai one sends a light blown charter straight island. How much a young you bad when after become after mata make a dance, after make it the marker. And man no understand when we shake a hand, me plan make it one plan. We not playing for fun, fun. Them come once it's time we snag a band. Woman naga man, bullet no got no gun. I mean no gun, hand to command man. From make it wrong decision, them can. But we no sabe si that matter work. The make it tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it by them in the surface of a world. With the make it holes in the earth, tracking the hurt. But what you thought we could be worth, we sabe work. With the make it tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it by them in the surface of a world. With the make it holes in the earth, tracking the hurt. But what you thought we could be worth, we sabe. Mama, you go walk but not sabe where you from. Mata love and pay respects to those before us. Pass them go from diver to a dove now. Look above, sign up the gabagab. Mata listen club, them kind was a mara. Bala make it damn kind, you go mata stop. Bombay then kind was a kuyur password walk now. Then kind was a spia password woomara. How mata ya new bad when ate become. Ate mata make it work, make him sign up to sun down. Make it plenty pound, diver mata down. When he selling them, but keep it the millions, hundreds and thousands. Them kind was a waiting naga vow. Watching naga bow, farmer naga no cow. Lawyer speaking all out, Bogani go pop. From sissing bronc up from inside south. They hit now, but we no sabe see them at the world. With them make it tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it by them in the surface of a world. With them make it holes in the earth to track in the hurt. But what you thought we could be with, we sabe world. With them make it tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it by them in the surface of a world. With them making holes in the earth, tracking the hurt. But what you thought we could be worth, we stop it. Plamata work. Me plamata work. With them making tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it by them in the surface of a world. With them making holes in the earth, tracking the hurt. But what you thought we could be worth, we stop it. Work. With them making tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it by them in the surface of a world. With them making holes in the earth, tracking the hurt. But what you thought we could be worth, we stop it.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on New Dingee Country as BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go around the country thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn with Associate Professor Jeremy Brownlie in regards to Kigari dingoes in the spotlight after recent human dingo incident on the island. And Kigari, of course, is the former island, Fraser Island. And we do have Associate Professor Jeremy Brownlie on the line. And a very good morning. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Trevor. Good morning to you, mate.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Professor?
So I'm based here in Mianjin in Brisbane at the Nathan Campus Griffith University.
Okay, thank you very much. So, yeah, we just had a recent human attack by a dingo on Kigari Island. Is this becoming a regular thing with our dingoes?
Look, I think they're a wild animal. They're a wild dog. There's a lot of people that visit that part of the country every year. There's around 350,000 to 500,000 visitors that come on the island each year.
Sure.
So that sometimes there's attacks on the mainland, but my suspicion is just with all of those visitors coming in, it might be a really rare occurrence, but it there's so many people coming in, there's a lot of contact between people and the dingoes.
Yes. So when you look at the population of humans in the one space, they'd operate differently, the dingoes, compared to dingoes on the mainland and out in the wilderness where not a lot of human traffic.
Yeah, that's right. I would imagine that the dingoes on Gowrie are, they're pretty used to seeing people around the place, whereas the ones, in the Western Deserts, for example, they wouldn't get a lot of contact with people, and probably a lot more wary of humans. And we see that with animals that are, say, like kangaroos, for example, that are in town. They behave, a bit differently to the ones that are more out in the bush. They just become a lot more habituated or used to seeing people around the place.
Yes, yes. Now, with the recent incident, a lady was jogging, and two or three of them attacked her. So they pack in, like, in a pack, don't they, when they attack?
Yeah, and so, one of the things that we got, one of the pieces of information they give to all of the visitors, if you jump online and look at the website, one of the things that it says is don't run. Running and jogging can actually trigger a negative behaviour with dingoes.
Yes.
And so the other thing there is, always to be in groups, to stay close and, in arm's reach, particularly of kids and young teenagers, just so that, you're a bigger group of people. And as I said, they're a wild dog. They're trying to find food. And if they see something
that's moving, as an individual. Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah, correct.
And those warnings are on the website for Kigari, is that right?
That's correct. Yes. So that's ones that the Queensland, Wildlife and Park Service have had for years and years, just sort of talking about, how to behave really sort of, lock up your food and even your askies, even if you're out on the boat, they're saying you've got to keep it locked up.
Exactly. They'll get in. They're looking for food, scavenging.
Correct.
Exactly. Correct. Yeah. Well, then the humans, there we are, sometimes are at fault, concerns and prayers and thoughts are going to the lady who just attacked.
Absolutely.
But if you're listening, if you're abiding by the rules, so to speak, in regard to safety, you wouldn't have these dramas.
Yeah, it's all about minimising that.
Okay.
I think the dingoes, they're such an iconic part of Gowrie. You look at all of the advertising campaigns for tourists, you see these beautiful images of pristine environment, and then these remarkable, iconic animals down on the beach. But I think for a number of people that aren't used to wild animals, we sort of think, they're just like our dogs, might get a little bit close or see that they're pretty hungry, there isn't a lot of food for them, for some people. Bit like feeding birds, they'll feed the dogs as well, the dingoes as well, and that's when they start to get a bit of bad behaviour, because then they start going, here's some people that they might have a bit of food.
Yes.
The last one.
So they'll approach the people because the last people fed them.
Correct. Correct. So it really is. It needs everyone to sort of do the right thing. It minimises the risk. It doesn't get rid of it. It just minimises that risk that there's going to be a negative interaction.
Jeremy, do you think there'd be a situation where they may remove the dingoes?
Look, they always say it's a last resort, and for good reason, right? Because the dingoes are a pack animal, and so if you take out one animal from that pack, it changes the whole societal structure for that pack.
Right.
So, it might be a dingo that plays a caring role. It might be one that's a hunting role or a leading role. Exactly right.
Gotcha.
And so when they, if there is a decision to look at the behaviour of the animals, certainly the statement, because they actually put down a dingo a couple of weeks ago, I saw, and there was a media release talking through that process. And they stressed the importance there of... that they've got a clear management plan that monitors the dingo behaviour. They track the dingoes. They take on community concerns for other tourists, but they also engage with the Botala people, the traditional owners, and sort of talk through that process as well. So I'd imagine, you know, that I know that they're probably looking at the dingoes that were involved in the most recent attack, and they'll take a really long, considered approach around that and try and work out, can we change it so that we don't see this, but try and keep the dingoes in there as well, as much as possible, but keep people's safety as well.
But Kigari is has always been there, former Fraser Island, has always been there. So has the dingoes always been there? Is that the environment?
Well, that's a really good question. So we think the island's separated from the mainland maybe 8,000, 10,000 years ago.
Yep.
And that, but again, but that's just a guess, right?
Sure, okay, sure, yeah.
In terms of when dingoes arrived on the mainland, that the oldest remains that we've found were in caves down in the Nullarbor. They're about 3,500 years old. The genetics suggest that maybe somewhere between 5,000 and even 10,000 years ago they arrived in a couple of waves onto that. So, look, they've definitely been on Garrick for a really long time, you know, thousands of years.
Yes.
But a very small population that, that exists there today.
So while we are using Kigari as a destination for tourists, all tourists need to abide by the rules. So we can work in with the dingoes.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's about respecting the environment.
Exactly.
Go there, enjoy it, leave footprints. But yeah, very much, you know, be there, be respectful, and follow the rules.
Exactly, follow rules. So we're talking about, like, everyone loves to be fit and run and walk out in the wilderness, you know, especially when you go to a place like Kigari Islands there, is do the jog with a group of people.
Correct, yeah.
Because then the dingoes will shy away from attack if there's 10 people running. Simple. Hey, good yarn with you. Thank you very much for sharing, Jeremy. All the best, and we'll yarn soon, my friend.
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks, mate.
Take care. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn there with Associate Professor Jeremy Brownlie. Just talking about the incident that happened with the human attack by a dingo, incident on Kigari Island, formerly Fraser Island. And talking about the situation with the dingoes, they are—that's their environment. They are on the island, but there are rules in place to engage with the dingoes. And if you run them by yourself doing a jog, for example, then that's an attack. That your individual a prey for them if as they pack and as they operate in packs. So they're seeing you run as an individual. So the rules is don't run an individual. And the rules states that check out your webpage before you go to Kigari and do all the rules to keep your family, keep yourself safe. And if they're saying if you can jog, don't jog by yourself. So have about 10 of you jogging. That'll be put the fishing off. But have you say Yana Strong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill.
In the deep washes in the shallows. They don't want to speak about the first battles. They can only see when they're looking down a barrel. I see the shadows, I hear the shots. I feel the spirit from the fight that never stopped. They want to talk about how far we got,
never stops.
Where the bodies drop, they build off me, I'm parking lot. And they call that survival. Put us on a mission. Force fed us bubbles. They put statues on our land just to worship false idols. Cuffs on our hands just to keep us in a cycle. Blood on their heads, bodies at their feet. And as a warning, they gon' hang them from the trees. Name for the banks, rivers and the streets. Now the shadows never leave. No justice, no peace.
I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows.
voice of who have died. So who the fuck are you to civilize? No, we can't rely when you recall. I hear your words, I see your lies. And in the dead of night, you can hear those babies cry. You can feel those eyes from the banks where they lay beside. Feel it in your spine when you know you're not alone. Shine bright till the shadows make it home.
Head around the granite stones, they'll forever be alone. Their killers got all free, but their shadows never leave. I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
My Kind of Life, Yothu Yindi here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yana Strong? 1-800-422-416. We got Selwyn on the line. Selwyn, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Brother, on your way to Laura, you didn't see the great man, the tall man. They bought him for a dollar. You didn't see him do it.
True that.
Captain Cook.
Captain Cook for $1.
You see him there with Mount Malloy, brother?
Yeah, brother, standing up one arm.
Standing to be there with Mount Malloy, eh?
Yes, apparently, yeah. And was bought for a dollar. And for those listeners who don't know what we're talking about, the statue of Captain Cook on Sheridan Street, been there for like 30-odd years, has now moved and cost of $1. Get rid of Captain Cook.
That's insulting the great man that he was, brother. Brother, you know, our like people that go up there and they might knock off because along the road, while you wasn't fed, they might knock off a bullock, or they might have wallowed a kangaroo. They could have taken it to the grounds there and cook them up there, brother. But that was okay for the cow cockies, brother, to take that bullock up there, you know, and they could have cooked it up on the ground there, brother. Eh? But you enjoyed yourself there, brother.
Exactly. Love dust being kicked up, brother. Beautiful camping, yes.
Yeah. And, brother, on that, my take on, you know, the term gaslighting, but there's also another one, like, in relation to racist dog, brother. Dog. I don't know if they work over there with Kigari, eh, brother?
Yeah, you know? True that.
Only the dog will it. And, you know, I'm just sort of looking at that, not to be insulting to the tears over there. Mm. And, you know, straight away, I think for Shanghai, brother.
Shanghai. Yeah.
And, but I saw it on YouTube, the TOs are saying, they do the wrong thing, brother.
They're feeding them.
They're feeding them. Just do the wrong thing. I wonder about them dogs, they too. But just did that Uluru, and I think, Lindy Chamberlain, I think she was vindicated, you know, because the dingo attacks. But I'm wondering if they're sort of mixing up with the other dog, the domestic dog, you know, brother?
Confusing at times, exactly.
Yeah, and at the time too, brother, that the T.O. old fellow there, he said that dingoes attack human beings too. And she was vindicated. But one of the things at the end of a short documentary, one of the things I really love what Lindy Chamberlain said. He said, "Never trust the coppers." Yeah, I really like that, brother. And brother, before I end, I want to touch you. You know how I put on Choker, brother. Mm. Do you remember the boxer Quentin Donahue, brother? He got killed in Townsville.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And I feel like saying the F and you know, I see the F word, brother, from Oregon, brother.
Mm.
Yeah, brother. You know. Sam. Same with Miglos involved. Same with Quentin. Yeah. Topic, brother.
Mm.
And I think of, you know, the Donahue family. My condolences go to them. And that young fellow there from, good man, brother. Good man, that brother from Oracle, there, brother.
Mm.
And that topic. And, you know, when I think of the Mariba shooting there, brother, and how they got this, I think they got one of them here up or somewhere for that brother from Oracle. They got him. They got them. There's a couple. We don't know if they really did it or not. But, and you think about the protest up in Mariba, the shooting up there. And I also think of the two stabbing here in the Cairns Central, where one was murdered there. I feel like they F me dead. Right, they were central, hey, brother, with an escalator. They went one fellow.
Yes.
White fellow killed that fellow. And the other white fellow stabbed the policeman. And you got to wonder, the black fellows are skeptical. Do they have that skepticism? They didn't shoot him, brother. The white perpetrators, they never shoot him, brother.
And that's true. What you got a point there.
There's a skepticism. Makes you think. Okay, brother.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, good point there. And it's Selwyn there having his say and just talking about situations there. And we're looking at 500 black deaths in custody. And he's talking about a non-Indigenous man got a knife and he's not shot, hasn't been killed in regard to shooting because of the fact that he hasn't a weapon. He just, well, asked the question. That's all he did, Selwyn, and it just makes you think. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Got 10 minutes left on program. Got the news coming up very soon via NERS, National Radio Service. And big shout out to the NERS team as well. Thank you.